You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Thursday, February 15th, 2018. I'm going to thank everyone for joining me. Thank you so much for spreading the word about this particular program. Of course, a supplement to the flagship show, the Hagmann Report, airs nightly 7 to 10 Eastern Time. But this is something a little bit different. This is a deep dive into important topics that really, to do so on our flagship show would take away from guests and other areas. This is kind of like a laser-like focus, this program laser-like focus into issues that are not being covered with the depth necessary, or if they are being covered, certainly are not, they're just not being covered, in my view, properly. So, of course, leading the news today, yes, the shooting yesterday at the Broward County School, where 17 people lost their lives in a horrible shooting, horrible event. And in spite of people such as Samantha Bee and others on the progressive left who mock prayers, we offer our collective and individual prayers to the families and the victims of the shooting, of course. But you know what? Look, I'm not going to talk about this. The America does not have a gun problem. We have a people problem. So stop it out there saying that we've got a gun problem. Look, it's a people problem. The young person who walked into that school yesterday, and this is as far as I'm going to go on this, the young person, that individual, I'm not even going to say his name because, look, I'm just not, okay? He walked into that school. He had mental issues, obviously. There were warning signs, flags up all day long, and no one acted upon them. It is what it is. It's a people problem. So, Morning Joe, Mika, as you wring your hands and say, oh, we've got to get rid of the guns and throw graphics and charts up. Look, it is a people problem. My goodness. There will be more. I always tend to look, too, when things like this happen. Now, I'm not saying, please understand me. I am not saying this was planned to take away from other news. No. I just always look at what's not being covered when this will dominate now the news for the next, however long. Because it will dominate, trust me. It'll continue throughout the, my goodness, it's just going to be talked about ad nauseum. Now, it's not as if it shouldn't be. I think the people problem should be addressed. Indeed, I do, but not in the way that it's going to be covered by the media, by the Mockingbird media for the next however many long weeks. All right, so with that, our prayers go to the families, the victims, and those affected, impacted adversely, obviously, by the shooting in Broward County. And again, much to the dismay and to the mocking of the left. Now, yesterday I did a show. I spoke about John Brennan and Susan Rice. All right, now I kind of ran out of time. I didn't really properly plan my time, and I want to thank the people who have sent emails in about the show yesterday. I read them all. I just if I responded to them all, I wouldn't be able to read them all. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who replied and who gave me both praise and criticism. Thank you very much. And yes, I deserve all of it. The criticism aspect, because I did run out of time, and I just kind of want to retouch on a couple of aspects here with respect to yesterday's program. Look, the people, because there is news, by the way, there's something I want to cover today. In fact, it's being covered by, again, the conservative treehouse, Sundance, It's about General Michael Flynn and the judge, the FISA court judge, Rio Contreras. And the FISA application used, of course, against General Michael Flynn. Something really strange took place that people aren't reporting on, all right? With the exception of, like I said, Conservative Treehouse and others. And I want to bring your attention to this because it is so critically important to all of the events. And I think what we're seeing right now, using the cruising altitude view, when you look down out of that airplane window at the landscape, at the terrain, and see everything, okay, now I can see things a little bit clearer. When we take that view, we can see what's happening. And just to reinforce everything I've been saying over the last several weeks, look, we are involved in a coup. We are watching a coup against the President of the United States, duly elected. But it's bigger than that. It's not against only Donald Trump. It's not against Donald Trump, the man, or the transition team, or the candidate, or even the president. It is against the nation. It's against the principles, the Constitution of the United States of America. It is against the foundation of our nation. It is against us. In the end, it is against us. It is the deep state versus us. That's what we are witnessing. And there's no two ways. There's absolutely no two ways around it. You're seeing the identification of the perpetrators, the actors, the individuals behind this deep state coup. Finally, now we're seeing the Clinton dynasty being revealed for what it is. We are seeing the workings between Clinton and Obama, even despite the animus that existed there. We acknowledge that, but you know, when you have a common objective among a group of people, of course, the personal differences are at least put aside for that, because they're all working toward the same ends. And that's why we see, for example, the communist/Islamic agenda working so well. They're working together, although they're opposites in terms of their beliefs. In many cases, when I say that, I'm talking about the finer points. The end game objective is it's a fight to who's going to be on top. And subtly. Now, we're all big people listening to this, subtly. Did you hear what I just said? We're fighting to see who's going to be on top. And if there are any children in the room, I'll give you a couple seconds to have them escort them out or cover their ears. It's not going to be bad. No, it's not going to be that bad. But I want you to think about something here. The royalty, I suppose, the people behind what we're watching, the coup, the real people behind the players in this, to them, they use symbols, they use numbers, they use celestial signs. And, I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. You hear about the top levels, the 33rd degree Masons and stuff, and all the symbology and all the... You might think it's really crazy. Okay, I get that, I understand that, and I believe it is crazy. Except to say that what we're watching is this struggle as to who is going to be on top. Especially when you consider, well, wait a minute, Islam and communism, they're joined at the hip, and the red-green axis you talk about, why is it? And what do you mean by who's going to be on top? Well, who's going to be the ultimate winner? But there's a sexual component to that. Okay, I guess I said all that. I said, remove the children, because there is a sexual component to that. Who's going to be on top? All right. There's documents and books and stuff out there you can get into and look at and read in order to understand that. No, not... Don't roll your eyes, Tammy. No. I'm talking about to understand who's going to dominate, shall we say. All right? Which family? Will it be the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds? That kind of thing. I just hit my microphone. Sorry about that. But you get the idea there. And that's what's taking place. So it's while we're watching everyone against, and I'm talking in the broad sense now, while we're watching everyone against the office of the president, the presidency, we're also watching it against the United States and the people they're in. And by the way, it's just not the people of the United States only. It is all of the free countries throughout the West. And to just to drive that point home, again, at the cruising altitude view, what did we see happen during the 8 years of Obama? And especially the 8 years of Obama joined by the 3 years of, or how many ever, 4 years of Hillary as Department or Secretary of State. We saw this power restructuring in the Middle East, didn't we? We saw this Arab Spring come to fruition, and really there was a power shift in the Middle East. So the reason I brought that in, again, at the cruising altitude view, was to let everyone know, look, this is bigger than just simply wiretapping against the president. Although that's bad. That's super bad. This is bigger than that. You got to think bigger. I was once told by a member, an individual who was very, very well connected in the intelligence / spy world. I don't know how else to describe it. All right, in lay terms, the spy world. Think bigger. Think bigger. You got to think bigger, because then it'll make sense. And you know, references to, and again, I'm going way, 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 way into the weeds here with this statement. But just consider this, okay? Just file this in the back recesses of your mind, and don't worry about this necessarily. This goes well beyond anything I'm talking about. But think, you know, for example, the role of planets, all right? The symbology behind the sky. And I'm not mocking that at all. I'm saying that there's something to that. In the role of Saturn, for example. Okay, again, it's that big. I'm using that as an example to say it is that big. At least the symbology is being used to propel an agenda. Yes, again, this is something I would not say to an audience, a general audience. I would not say this during our evening show necessarily, or to those people who are not. I wouldn't go on, let's say, Fox News and say that. But at the end of the day, it's a big struggle. It's a cosmic struggle, all right? And it really is truly good versus evil. Now, I might get some emails saying, well, you, what do you mean you wouldn't go on Fox News and say that? Well, that makes you a hypocrite. No. Because sometimes when you paint the bigger picture, or when you're looking at the bigger picture and trying to really understand what's really going on, you know what? Sometimes people will get turned off and say, well, he's just a crazy coot, you know, nut. I'm not going to listen to them. You lose people. So you've got to do this kind of in steps. That's all I'm saying. All right. So it's. I just want to reinforce that. So you just don't walk out and, you know, in the public square and start out with the biggest, most incredible. If you want to keep people, you know, the biggest statement or the most incredible statement, you have to really kind of help people to that point. And to some extent, I think that's what we're seeing take place now. Because just imagine, and think about this in the larger sense. What if all of the bad actors, all of the perpetrators, all of the bad people were taken out all at once? In other words, were arrested or, we'll just say arrested. Would government even be able to still function? I'm asking that question. What would be the response of the American people? Would that cause a civil war? And again, think bigger as you're listening to my words. What would the landscape be? Would there be a civil war? And I mean a hot civil war like in the mid-1800s. Would that happen? Is this something that we should not? I mean, shouldn't we think about this? Shouldn't we talk about this? I'm just tossing this out there. And I will tell you this. I do know for a fact that there are individuals in the media. Now, I'm talking about, well, I know that there are individuals on the, in the conservative media who know certain things that they're not saying. And I'll stop right there because, I'm just going to stop right there and think about that. They're connected with the administration, so they've got, or shall I say that they're getting fed information from the Donald Trump administration. People you may not even necessarily think about or like to think about, perhaps. I don't know. But in the big sense, what would America look like if all of a sudden, or just imagine this, and I'm tossing this out there as an example only. What would happen? What would be the response of the people in America as well as all across the world if suddenly, and as an example, if Obama and Clinton and, oh, I don't know, you know, all of their associates were rounded up, paraded in front of cameras in handcuffs. Now, this, again, as an example. What would the optics look what would the optics be to the people? Now, maybe they're guilty as sin, all right? In my view, Hillary Clinton certainly is, and Obama certainly is. But what would that do to the psyche of the nation and the optics? What would that do to the world, people watching this? I mean, certainly that would be a banner news day. Yeah, obviously, that goes without saying. But I'm just throwing this out there as an example. Kind of an extreme example, but an example nonetheless. What would happen? Do you think that people would just say, wow, okay, good, we're cleaning the swamp? Or would there be outrage? Would there be accusations of a dictatorship kind of thing going on, regardless of where the, what evidence existed and who did what, when, you know, in terms of filing the criminal complaints and what courts and stuff? It would appear like a purge, wouldn't it? And wouldn't that serve to further polarize people within the United States? Now, look, I am not saying don't do it for fear of polarization, you know, further polarization. No. All I'm saying is think bigger and think broader and think about the unintended consequences of what we would see. Just imagine. Do you think that the left or the right, do you think that there would be riots? Do you think that there would be, what would happen? I'm asking. Look, I'll tell you what. I think something would happen. I think there would be a, believe me, there'd be a lot that would happen. But that's certainly not a controlled takedown. I mean, that would be just really messy. Would I like to see that happen personally? Absolutely. I think justice needs to be done. But would that create a problem for this country? And I'm talking about an international problem as well as a domestic problem. I'm just asking. I'm asking for you to consider that. Think bigger and consider what I just said. All right. Enough with the ifs and suppositions and examples and the think bigger talk. You get the idea. I'm just tossing it out there for your consideration. Now, yesterday I was speaking about Susan Rice and John Brennan. Susan Rice, of course, being responsible for some of the unmaskings and, of course, being at the epicenter of the controversial letter by the Senate Judiciary Committee, sending a letter to Susan Rice saying, okay, you sent an email at 12:15 on Inauguration Day, 12:15 p.m. You are basically unemployed, and you are memorializing a conversation that took place, a meeting that took place 15 days previous. Why'd you do it? Is that, did you send it? If so, why? Do you have any reason to dispute the timestamp? And so on. The link to the document, I believe, is in the show notes from yesterday on BTR Blog Talk Radio. By the way, I would recommend you go to Blog Talk Radio to download the show and to take it with you, to travel with you or whatever. All right, so. So my question is, what's that all about? And why toss Brennan in the mix as well? Because the email and the meeting had nothing to do with Brennan. Well, Brennan is not talked about much. But Brennan comes in, where Brennan comes into play, of course, is his long history as a player, as an actor, as a, in my view, a bad guy of the deep state. In my personal opinion and professional opinion, based on everything I've been able to research. Let's get into, I'm going to get into Brennan here a little bit more, because I think it's important for people to really understand where Brennan stands. And it's interesting to me that there was this kind of an audible gasp. I didn't know that kind of thing the other night on Fox News when he voted for a communist. Well, yeah, didn't you know that? And that brings me to another point I'm going to toss out there. You know, when we talk to people, and I constantly ask my wife this question, do normal people know about, like, X, Y, and Z? And of course, she'll look at me like, you know, what's wrong with you? Okay? As you probably would do. What's wrong with you? But I use her as a sounding board. Yeah, because she... She's normal. How's that? She's normal. And she probably represents the most normal of the normal people in the country. All right. She there's certain things that she watches on television, certain papers that she reads, certain. So, and that's deliberate, because I need that. I need her to say, well, no, that wasn't reported on. Huh. Or, that was reported on. Or, people know that. But I was surprised that there was surprise that people didn't know that Brennan voted for a communist. So that's why this has to be gone over. Can you just imagine, the head of the CIA, admitting to voting for a communist for president? Oh, some might say, well, that's just wistful, the picadillos of a guy trying to buck the system. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Apply that logic to everyone else you get the idea. So let's take a deeper look at John Brennan, because I think it's extremely important. Then I'm going to get to news with respect to the independent counsel and Mike Flynn. Oh my, things are really starting to heat up, and I gotta tell you, there will be news about what's taking place behind the scenes. There will be news. Buckle up. When I say news, I'm talking about holy moly moments. That's right. All right, let's recap on John Brennan. All right, John Brennan served as a longtime CIA guy. He served as a senior advisor to Barack Hussein Obama, his 2008 presidential campaign. He said in 2009 that he was pleased to see a lot of Hezbollah individuals are in fact renouncing terrorism and violence and trying to really participate in the political process in a very legitimate fashion. All right, this guy, as far as I am concerned, if he's not a Muslim, he should be, because he has hobnobbed with all of the highest Muslim officials, I'll get into it. And, of course, he explains that jihad means to purify oneself or to wage holy struggle for a moral goal. And he supports trials of Islamic terrorists in civilian courts. Keep him out of the military. And in 2011, what he did, he called for the FBI to eliminate its, and I quote, offensive training materials that made reference to jihad and radical Islam. Get them out. Get them out. And he was involved in, of course, bigly, in the false talking points for Susan Rice about the Benghazi attacks. Okay? Where do you think Susan Rice got the talking points? Hillary Clinton? No. John Brennan? Okay. All right. Now, in 1976, perhaps this should be worn. He should wear this as a star, an epaulette on his shoulder here. He voted for Communist Party USA presidential nominee Gus Hall in 1976, I just said, okay? The Communist Party USA at that time was dedicated to supporting a what? A Soviet foreign policy, a Russian foreign policy, with the intent of defeating the United States in the Cold War. I mean, think back, 76, pretty nasty Cold War stuff. It was kind of in the throes of the Cold War. And Gus Hall, just so people know, who supported Gus Hall, the communist candidate in the United States? Remember him? Well, he was supported by Moscow. Moscow regularly gave Hall thousands of dollars to enable the communists in America to carry on their work. But see, Brendan, he said, well, you know, the reason I supported Hall was that, you know, I was unhappy with the system and we needed a change. Well, a communist change? His graduate thesis. See, in 1980, Brendan earned a master's in government from the University of Texas at Austin. And in his graduate thesis, he denied the existence of absolute human rights and argued in favor of censorship, in that case by the Egyptian dictatorship. And I'm going to quote something here from his thesis. Since the press can play such an influential role in determining the perceptions of the masses, I am in favor of some degree of government censorship. Inflammatory articles can provoke mass opposition and possible violence, especially in developing political systems. What's he saying there? Wow. That gives a whole new meaning to Mockingbird Media, doesn't it? Hey, Snopes, you paying attention? Hey, Right Wing Watch, are you paying attention? Well, in 1980, Brendan joined the CIA. 4 years after voting for a communist, he joined the CIA as an intelligence director. And in the 90s, he served a stint as a daily intelligence briefer for who? Bill Clinton. Now, according to one CIA official, former CIA official, in 1998, Brendan was instrumental in preventing an operation that would have captured or killed Osama bin Laden. Huh. And instead advise the United States to, look, trust the Saudis to take care of bin Laden. Huh. In 99, George Tenet appointed John Brennan as his chief of staff. And from March 2001 until 2003, Brennan served as CIA's deputy executive director. And then he headed, after that, he headed this newly created Terrorist Threat Integration Center. That's in 2003, 2004. And then in 2004 and 2005, he directed the National Counterterrorism Center. Oh, that's just the guy you want to be doing that, right? No wonder. Hey, questions answered. In 2005, Brendan left government to become the CEO of the Analysis Corporation, a Virginia company that supported the federal government's counterterrorism efforts, and he chaired the Intelligence and National Security Alliance. And that's where it gets gooey, okay? Now, in a 2006 interview on C-SPAN, Brendan said that it would be nice to put Hezbollah in a category of being totally evil. But you know what? But Hezbollah as an organization is a very, well, it's complex. And one that has a terrorist aim to it, sure, but it also has a social and political nature to it as well. So, hey, guys, lay off a Hezbollah, huh? Okay, I'm paraphrasing there and I'm editorializing, but you get the idea. All right. Now, I wrote in the show notes yesterday, you can find it. I wrote an article about Brennan, his role with Benghazi and his role with Obama. I think there are some unanswered questions there. I'm not going to get into that because I just don't have the time right now. You can read it for yourself. And of course, back in 08, I'll just mention that Brennan endorsed direct political and diplomatic engagement with Iran. Okay. Where are we with Iran today? You can thank Brendan in part, Obama. Look, you can see that this, how all of this kind of wraps together. CIA Director Brennan. He was with Obama since basically day one, molding and shaping Obama's foreign policy. And who is Obama? Well, look at Brennan, look at the CIA to really answer that question. And of course, what his senior thesis said about the press and the optics. And oh my goodness, are we not seeing what's really taking place here? And but I should mention this as well. Brennan met privately with the founder of the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Why did I mention that? This is back in 2010. Because, look, these are terrorists. These are Muslim terrorists. And when we look at John Brennan, he voted for a communist in 76. When you look at his policies and his beliefs, they lean strongly toward the communist bias. And when you look at his actions, they certainly have a pro-Muslim bias. In fact, John Guandalo, former FBI agent, had stated that stated openly that Brennan converted to Islam. Period. And Brennan spent a long time in Saudi Arabia. And it was February 2013 when John Guandalo, now the former Marine who subsequently worked 8 years in the FBI's counterterrorism division as a subject matter expert. If anyone should know, he should know, right? He studied and worked on the Muslim Brotherhood and the global spread of Islam. He said that Brennan had converted to Islam years earlier in Saudi Arabia. Now I'm going to state exactly what John Guandalo said in February 2013. He said that Brennan did convert to Islam when he served in an official capacity on behalf of the United States and Saudi Arabia. That fact alone is not what is most disturbing. His conversion to Islam was the culmination of a counterintelligence operation against him to recruit him. The fact that foreign intelligence service operatives recruited Brennan when he was a very sensitive and senior U.S. government position in a foreign country means that he's either a traitor or has the inability to discern and understand how to walk those kinds of environments, which makes him completely unfit to be the director of the CIA. The facts of the matter are confirmed by U.S. government officials who were also in Saudi Arabia at the time that Brennan was serving there and have direct knowledge. These are men who work in very trusted positions. They were direct witnesses to his growing relationship with the individuals who work for the Saudi government and others, and they witnessed his conversion to Islam. Okay. Now, Snopes, are you paying attention? Yeah, the claim, that's false or unproven. Okay, well, look at the evidence. Look at the, when I say evidence, I'm talking about, evidence does not equal proof. It just, boy, there's a lot of stuff stacking up against Brennan here, both on the communist side and a Islamic side. And by the way, it was March 7th of 2013 when the Senate confirmed Brennan for the position of the CIA director, all right? 63-34, that was the vote. And not that it really makes a difference, but when he was sworn into office, but I think it does, which is why I'm talking about this. When he was sworn into office, he placed his left hand not on a Bible, but on an original draft of the United States Constitution. This is from 1787. That was before it included the Bill of Rights. Well, what did pretty much all of the CIA directors do? What did they do? Well, most but not all previous CIA directors had been sworn in using a Bible. Another piece of the puzzle. This is John Brennan. All right, you might say, well, yeah, I knew all that. Okay, and what does that have to do with today? Well, there was an article written by Roger Stone. And again, whatever you think of the man, it doesn't matter. Whatever you think of me, whatever you think of him, whatever you think of whoever, pay attention to the information. The leakers, in fact, the article, Meet the Leaker Who Tried to Take Down Donald Trump. This is an article from Roger Stone dated June 21st, 2017. All right. And he starts out by saying that the extraordinary effort by leakers inside the U.S. intelligence agencies to create this false narrative accusing Donald Trump and his associates of colluding with the Russian state has been orchestrated by former CIA Director Brennan. Brennan even took the incredible step of putting out a statement denying that he's a leaker, a move so ham-handed it virtually guarantees that he is the ringleader. Hey, I didn't rob that bank. Oh, wait a minute. Who said you did? I didn't kill that person. Well, okay. I didn't shoot him in the back. Well, how'd you know he was shot? How'd you know he was shot in the back? All right, anyway, you get where I'm saying? But Brennan was the CIA director under Obama, beginning in 2013, as I mentioned, until 2017. Now, before that, he held the position of Homeland Security Advisor from 2009 to 2013. So he's been in the intelligence world, like I said, forever, all right? But he's a guy, now this according to Stone, that has subverted justice and is responsible for planting the seeds of Russian collusion story designed to undermine Donald Trump from day one. He was a supporter of Hillary Clinton and wanted to retain his position as the CIA director, and who wouldn't? And Brennan also spoke out against the Muslim ban. Oh, my goodness. Remember him going, okay, you get the idea. Donald Trump, the travel restrictions from certain countries. Oh, it's a Muslim ban, and it's despicable. And Roger Stone also references the fact that he is almost certainly, believed to be a Muslim convert. And two former CIA employees stationed at the CIA station in Riyadh, it told Roger Stone that their suspicion Brennan had converted to Islam, the most radical form of Islam, had been confirmed by things they both saw and heard. Former CIA field operations officer Gene Coyle said Brennan was known as the greatest sycophant in the history of the United States, a supporter of Hillary Clinton before the election. I mean, you got his own guys talking about him, all right? Now, the origins of the Trump-Russia collusion started with John Brennan, when John Brennan used the phony and uncorroborated intelligence provided by Estonian spies to British intel purporting to show that there was a link between the Kremlin and members of the Donald Trump campaign. If you go back to April 19th of 2017, the American Spectator reports on this. The BBC's Paul Wood reported in 2016 that the intelligence agency of an unnamed Baltic state had tipped John Brennan off in April of 2016 to a conversation purporting to show that the Kremlin was funneling cash into the Trump campaign. Remember what I said about Gus Hall? Remember Gus Hall back in 76, the guy that Brennan supported? Who was funneling money into his campaign? Moscow. Think of the Alinsky tactics, the Alinsky playbook, and what they're usually doing, the opposition are usually doing. They will accuse you of doing. Now, let me go back and cite that again. BBC's Paul Wood reported in 2016 that an intelligence agency of an unnamed Baltic state had tipped Brennan off in April 2016 to a conversation purporting to show that the Kremlin was funneling cash into the Trump campaign. Whoa, okay. Estonia. And Obama's intel czar, James Clapper, oh, there's a name, discounted the report, saying that we can't corroborate the sourcing on this. But despite all that, what happened? Oh, the Russian narrative nonetheless ruled the day. Okay. Now, Brennan, despite Clapper saying, you really can't prove that, Brennan nonetheless went forward and attached the Estonian intelligence report to the report to an official report to Obama. He also included the unverified allegations in a briefing he gave to the Hill Democrats, the Gang of Eight, which practically verified the leak and that this would be leaked, and it was. Oh man, look, go to the there was a National Review article. The Russian collusion story is manufactured, of course it is. Now, I just wanted to go quickly again. Who is Brennan? He's the guy, of course, voted for communists in 76. He refused to be sworn in on into office on the Bible, as the tradition goes in America. But instead, a original draft of the Constitution, minus the Bill of Rights. That's important. Remember, symbology. Remember, okay? Think. He was swearing to uphold the Constitution, not on the complete copy, but on one that omitted the documents that most clearly limit state powers, such as the First Amendment, such as the Second Amendment, which prohibit the federal government from abridging freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom of religion and individual freedom to bear arms. Who was watching? Muslims? Who did that appease? The Muslims? To some extent, the communists, I would argue. Well, John, you converted to Islam, and you're my brother in turban, right? Or whatever those things are. What are you doing? Putting your hand on the Bible. Well, I'll tell you what. For optics, I'll put it on the Constitution. People won't notice. People are stupid. They won't notice that it's minus the Bill of Rights. How's that, Muhammad? Is that okay? Okay. And as I mentioned, in 1980, his graduate thesis denied the existence of absolute human rights. Now, as we come forward here, not surprising with the background you just heard. In November 2012, WikiLeaks email dump. That points to Brennan as the person behind the witch hunt of journalists who reported on flattering Obama administration leaks. Okay, so remember that period of time when WikiLeaks had dumped their emails. There was an email dump in 2012, November, and there was some unflattering leaks that didn't paint Obama in a good light, all right, both personal and systemic. Well, Brennan launched the counterattack. Okay, we're going to go after the journalists who were promoting this. Anyone who promoted this or reported on this, we're going to go after them. And as head of the CIA, you doggone well know that I can and will. In his confirmation hearing to become CIA director, Brennan refused to answer direct questions by Rand Paul about the Obama administration's use of lethal drone attacks on the U.S. citizens and U.S. territory. He'd only say that we didn't do it. We didn't do it. We had no intention of doing so. Now, he spoke out against the Iran deal. In other words, he was pro the Iran deal. And again, in 2016, he admitted to supporting Communist Party presidential candidate in 76. But he was not sorry about that. See, I can understand saying, well, you know what? I did this, and I really, boy, did I screw up, and doggone it. You know, hey, I'm throwing myself. Look, I was stupid. I was young, all right? I just want No. He didn't say all that. He just said, yeah, well, I wanted a change. And as a matter of fact, he's got a long history of being very cozy with the Muslim Brotherhood, as I mentioned, and the Holy Land Foundation trial back in 08. I spoke about this many times in the past, which established the Islamic Society of North America as a Muslim Brotherhood front, financial supporter of terrorist organization, Hamas, and others. Brennan had continued to meet with ISNA, which is the Islamic Society of North America, meet with their officials and participate in such events that involved these very same officials. In fact, he delivered in 2009 a keynote address for the Islamic Society of North America. How are people not seeing this? How are people not understanding that Brennan is, in fact, not just a communist, but a communist Muslim, in my personal opinion, in my view? But it gets worse, according to Roger Stone, one of the FBI, well, I said this, one of the former top experts at FBI, said that he converted to Islam years ago. And by the way, in a speech delivered on August 9th, 2009, to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and you can find this on the White House website, Brennan said that using a legitimate term, jihad, meaning to purify oneself to wage a holy struggle for a moral goal, that's okay. And that doesn't mean what you think it means. Okay, so, and by the way, in 2010, when Brennan was serving as Obama's Homeland Security Chief, he said that having 20% of the terrorists released by the U.S. return to terrorist attacks, hey, it's not that bad. Look at the rate when U.S. prisoners are released from U.S. prisons. See, even McCain said that Brennan lost touch with reality. Now, getting back to the Russian collusion story, the narrative, the false narrative, Brennan is really behind this. Think he crafted the Benghazi talking points, essentially, and passed them off to Susan Rice. He is also behind and plays a large part in the Russian collusion story with Donald Trump. Remember his senior thesis. Remember what he said about the press, about managing the optics. Remember all of the things I mentioned that he has done. He's behind this leaking, and he is behind the optics 100%. Now, I said all that to say this. Keep your eyes and ears open for news about John Brennan, his role in what we're seeing today. Susan Rice, ditto. But I needed to give you more information about John Brennan, just so you know who had been at the helm of the CIA, the nation's, our country's, our intelligence agency. The most powerful intelligence agency in the world, arguably. This is the guy who is running things, all right? So you needed to know that background. And again, which brings me back to the point when I started with, people are surprised just at the fact that he voted for a communist in 1976? I didn't know that. Okay, now you know that and more. And it's our job to know and be aware of who we are electing. And when I say electing, who we are electing in order to these people that we're electing or appointing people for public office. And he was approved by 65 to 34 vote or something like that. I don't recall. I don't have my notes on that in front of me right now, but you get the idea, all right? But let's move to today. With that as a backdrop, what are we seeing today? And this is reported by Conservative Treehouse, Sundance, of course. I've referenced him. I don't agree with everything that he puts out or they put out or whoever it is or that is, because people write under pseudonyms. Look, I don't know who these people are, all right? But I know facts when I see them, and I know certain, I don't know, what would you call it? You kind of know when a puzzle piece fits, and you don't have to force it when I see it. So, okay. There's news that General Mike Flynn, there's news about the Flynn, the case against General Mike Flynn that you're not hearing about. Now, listen to this. This is incredible. This is going to blow your mind. Remember on November 30th of last year, General Mike Flynn signed a guilty plea, ostensibly admitting to lying to investigators. In my view, that was stupid. But okay. The plea was accepted by Judge Ruben Contreras. He's also a FISA court judge. Remember, 6 days after that, December 7th, 2017, Judge Contreras was recused from the case. There was no explanation given. That case, the Michael Flynn case, was reassigned to D.C. District Judge Emmett Sullivan. Remember? If a conflict existed on December 7th, wouldn't that same conflict have existed on November 30th, just days before? This, of course, is a question brought up by the writer Sundance from Conservative Treehouse. Good point. On December 12th of last year, Judge Sullivan gave out a rather unusual set of instructions to Robert Mueller. The instructions included Sullivan telling Mueller to turn over the Flynn Flynn defense anything that could be considered exculpatory. The Brady Rule. Remember the Brady. And you can look it up, the Brady Rule. Okay? That's my editorializing. Now, consider this, written in this. If the government has identified any information which is favorable to the defendant, but which the government believes is not material, the government shall submit the material to the court before or for an in-camera review, meaning that you do it behind closed doors. That's what in-camera means. It was on 31st of January of this year where Robert Mueller requested a delay of sentencing, just what, how many, 3 weeks ago? Pushing the sentencing phase into May. And then yesterday, February 14th, Mueller asked for the information he's turning over to be sealed. Whoa, what's going on here? So wait a second here. Let me get this straight. Flynn cops to a guilty plea because they said, look, here's the deal, Mike Flynn. We tricked you, meaning the FBI. Or the special counsel, office of the special independent counsel. We tricked you. We asked you questions that you really, we didn't expect you to have the correct answers to. And so you were incorrect in your answers. So we said that you were lying. So we charged you with lying. Because otherwise, we were going to make your life a living hell. And believe me, let me tell you something to the people out there listening. You don't think that the government can make your life a living hell? You don't think that a lawsuit, for example, can make your life a living hell? Can bankrupt you? Can cause emotional turmoil in your family? I know this to be the truth. You've got no idea, or maybe you do, if you've ever been sued by a frivolous lawsuit, regardless of how frivolous it is, you still have to defend it. You still have to pay for it. The unbelievable angst and the money it costs to defend it. That's just in the civil venue. Now consider what the government can do to you. As it was said, they get you from six ways from Sunday. Okay, you get that, right? Well, the independent counsel and the FBI said, okay, you know what, Flynn, you're going to cop to this plea, or we are going to just, you're going to wake up and we're going to be there, okay? You're going to go to bed and we're going to be there. We're just going to make your life a living hell. And not only that, we're going to just screw with your family, your friends, you're done. That's it. Or you can just sign a guilty plea. And you know, we'll just kind of forget about it. That's what was going on. Now, again, let me go through these dates again very quickly. November 30th, 2017, Mike Flynn signs a guilty plea. Who wouldn't? Okay, being whispered in your ear, we're gonna make your life a living hell. And then that guilty plea, ostensibly he admitted lying to investigators. The plea was accepted by Contreras, who is also a FISA court judge. That was on November 30th. Yet 6 days later, December 7th, 2017. Contreras was recused from the case. No explanation. So wait a minute. If the conflict existed on December 7th, wouldn't the same conflict have existed 6 days previous? If not, what changed? Well, December 12th last year, again, I'm going through this again, Sullivan gave out a rather unusual set of instructions to Robert Mueller. The instructions included Sullivan telling Mueller to turn over to the Flynn defense anything that could be considered exculpatory. Yeah. And just a couple of weeks ago, January 31st, Mueller requested a delay of sentencing, pushing the sentencing phase into May. And then yesterday, Mueller asked for the information that he's turning over to be sealed. We don't want anyone to see this. No, we don't. And in fact, there is the what is visible is, of course, the order by Judge Sullivan. Now, very quickly here, what was missing from back during the Flynn plea deal? The text messages between Strzok and Page. Remember, we don't. They're gone. Well, the OIG Horowitz has the text and has given them to Mueller's team. And Flynn now has access, and his attorneys now have access to all of the evidence for his defense. That's what changed. And the stipulated motion gives the Flynn team access to all of the evidence, including the 302s. In other words, remember the accusation that the 302s, the FBI's statements of the investigation, the reports, had been changed, doctored, manipulated? Now he's got evidence. He's got the 302s. He's got the Strzok Page text. The defense team does. Oh, boy. Could it be that the independent counsel was lying? The FBI was lying and Flynn was being made? That this whole thing, this rush to a plea deal was done with ill intent? Okay. Remember, the FISA application relied heavily on the Clinton Steele dossier. In other words, the Clinton dossier. And with discoveries from the Devin Nunes memo and the Chuck Grassley memo, there's strong evidence of gross and intentional misrepresentation within the application, which puts the spotlight back on the FISA judge who approved the application despite everything. Well, who was that? If it was Rudolph Contreras, Ruben. Hey, Rudy. Hey, that guy from Die Hard. If he signed off on the Title I surveillance warrant, Judge Contreras is now in question. Everything is in question. This whole thing has been a sham, folks. And this whole thing was set up to bring down Donald Trump and the United States of America and you and me. It's now coming out. It's because Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley requested that the FISA application be declassified to the Department of Justice. Everything will be made known. Devin Nunes requested transcripts from the application hearing. Good lot. Holding statutory oversight over the FISA court has requested the actual FISA warrant and application. All of the documents now, everything is becoming known. Oh boy. Buckle up. Don't take your eyes off of this. Judge Contreras, his involvement with Title I Surveillance Authority. The FBI conspiracy revelations. The revelations of FBI conspiracy right after Mike Flynn signed the guilty plea. The timing appears to show white hats within the intelligence apparatus hitting back against the DOJ and the FBI for the injustices against Michael Flynn. There's something about the use of the Steele or the Clinton Steele dossier within the FISA application that does not pass the sniff test. If Contreras was in fact, and I believe he was, the authorizing judge, and it seems likely that he is, well, he's in the crosshairs of this scandal, of this criminal activity. And by the way, Contreras, oh yeah. He's great buddies with former Attorney General, Eric Holder. Huh. Could it be that Contreras just kind of, well, it's okay. You know, I'll look the other way with this FISA application, this surveillance application. It's all coming out, ladies and gentlemen. This is all coming out for everyone to see. Nobody's going to stop this. And when this hits, it's going to leave a mark. Ouch. Folks, if you like what you heard, please pass information, pass this program on your social networking feed. Tell others about the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, and certainly tune in tonight to our flagship program. But definitely catch me every weekday, 9 to 10. on Blog Talk Radio and the Global Star Radio Network. Pray for the families of this shooting. Pray for the victims, of course. And pray for our country.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.